Welcome to episode 276 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Today we turn to the book of Hebrews, the 46th book in our series, 50 books of the Bible in 50 weeks. We're nearing the end of this year-long study. Written more like a sermon than a letter, the book of Hebrews points weary New Testament believers to Jesus, to his work on earth below, and to his work in heaven above. The book reveals Jesus in various roles, each one helping us understand the great salvation that has been offered to the world through him. In sum, they create the simple yet crucial message from the Lord to his people in all ages, don't give up. Theologically speaking, scholars generally regard the book of Hebrews to be second in importance only to Paul's letter to the Romans in the New Testament. No other book so eloquently defines Christ as high priest of Christianity, superior to the Aaronic priesthood and the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. This book presents Christ as the author and perfecter of our faith. However, both the authorship and audience are in question. If one compares the first few verses of Hebrews with the first few verses of Romans, 1 Corinthians, and Galatians, or for that matter, James and 1 Peter, one will notice a curious phenomenon. Unlike those books, the author does not mention his name, not in the beginning of his letter, nor in fact anywhere in it. The book has traditionally been attributed to the Apostle Paul, although many scholars of late have questioned that attribution. So our first question is, who was the author? The other natural question is, to whom was the author writing? Finding out to whom Hebrews was sent is not just a matter of historical curiosity. That knowledge helps us to understand the main thrust of the letter. There's a very heavy emphasis on the Old Testament, on its history and on its sanctuary, and the book is written in a manner implying that the author believed the readers knew something about that history and sanctuary. The title To the Hebrews, which appears in the earliest known copy of the epistle, is not a part of the original manuscript. There is no salutation. The letter simply begins with the assertion that Jesus, the Son of God, has appeared, atoned for our sins, and is now seated at the right hand of God in heaven. The heavy concentration on the sanctuary system, the priesthood, the Hebrew history, and of course on the Hebrew Bible, which required a good knowledge of the Old Testament to be understandable, makes plausible the assumption that the recipients were Jewish Christians, a view commonly held by scholars. The author writes to them as though they knew the Old Testament quite well, not only its history, but the sanctuary service revealed in its pages. The letter closes in chapter 13, verse 25, with the words, "Grace be with you all," which is the same closing found in each of Paul's known letters. However, it should be noted that Peter uses similar, though not identical, closings. It is also possible that it is simply customary to close letters like this with the words, "Grace be with you all," during this time period. We know that the word grace is used often in the New Testament, included more than 100 times in the writings of Paul, James, Peter, and John, not to mention in Luke's account of the Acts of the Apostles. Church tradition teaches that Paul writes the book of Hebrews, and until the 1800s, that issue was closed. However, though most Christians, both scholars and laypersons, still believe Paul wrote the book, there are some tempting reasons to think otherwise. First and foremost is a lack of a salutation. Some sort of personal salutation from Paul appears in all of his letters, so it would seem that writing anonymously is not his usual method. Therefore, the reasoning goes, Hebrews cannot be one of his letters. Second, the overall composition and style is of a person who is a very sophisticated writer. Even though he is certainly a sophisticated communicator, Paul states that he purposefully does not speak with a commanding vocabulary. The book of Hebrews quotes extensively from the Old Testament. Paul, as a Pharisee, would have been familiar with the scripture in its original Hebrew language. In other letters, Paul either quotes the Masoretic text, the original Hebrew, or paraphrases it. However, all of the quotes in the epistle are taken out of the Septuagint, the Greek Old Testament, which is inconsistent with Paul's usage. Finally, Paul was an apostle who claimed to receive his revelations directly from Jesus. The writer of Hebrews specifically says that he was taught by an apostle. If Paul did not write the letter, who did? The most plausible suggestion is that this was actually a sermon Paul gave, and it was transcribed later by Luke, a person who would have had the command of the Greek language, which the writer shows. Barnabas is another likely prospect, since he was a Levite and would have been speaking on a subject that he knew much about. The Protestant reformer Martin Luther suggests Apollos, since he would have had the education the writer of this letter must have had. Priscilla and Clement of Rome have been suggested by other scholars. However, there is still much evidence that Paul wrote the letter. The most compelling comes from Scripture itself. Remember that Peter wrote to the Hebrews, that is, to the Jews. Peter writes in 2 Peter 3, verse 15, "Just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him." In this verse, Peter confirms that Paul had also written a letter to the Hebrews. If not the book of Hebrews, what has become of that letter? The theology presented in Hebrews is consistent with Paul's. Paul is a passionate proponent of salvation by faith alone, and that message is strongly communicated in this epistle. I think it is safe to assert that either Paul wrote the epistle or the writer was trained by Paul. Although it is a small detail, this epistle makes mention of Timothy, and Paul is the only apostle known to have ever done that in any letter. So does it matter who actually wrote Hebrews? The letter fills a needed space in Scripture and both outlines our faith and defines faith itself in the same way that Romans defines the tenets of Christian living. It closes the chapters of faith alone and serves as a prelude to the chapters on good works, built on a foundation of faith in God. In short, this book belongs in the Bible. Therefore, its human author is unimportant. What is important is to treat the book as inspired scripture, as defined in 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 to 17. The Holy Spirit is the divine author of Hebrews and of all scripture, even though we may not know who put the physical pen to the physical paper and traced the words. The Holy Spirit inspired someone to write this book, most likely to Jewish Christians. What was he saying to them? Why did he write this epistle? The answer seems to be that these people were in danger of falling away from Christianity and returning to Judaism. They were losing faith in the second coming. They thought Christ should have been back already. And as time progressed, they were in danger of drifting away from the great truths of the gospel. Sound familiar? The author's words contain large blocks of warning and admonition. These warnings and admonitions reveal what was at stake when the book to the Hebrews was written. To reject or lose salvation, to drift away from sound proclamation and New Testament teaching, to miss the divine rest by unbelief or disobedience, to become weary and sin willfully, and to live an unethical life, these were some of the dangers the Hebrews faced. Their spiritual malaise threatened their eternal destiny. Father, whether written by Paul or someone else, thank you for the book of Hebrews, which points us to Jesus for who he is, for what he did in the past, and what he's doing for us now. That's our episode. Remember that God called you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.